In these last 3 weeks, we have learned about the God's mission. And we have learned that the mission of God is to glorify His own name in all the earth and among all people. In the Bible, the idea here and what I try to make you understand is that in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we can see God's footprint in the history. He is working for His own glory. Last week, we saw the mission of God revealed in the calling of Abraham. We'll begin today where you finished last week. Okay, it's the encounter between Abraham and God in chapter 15. The Bible said, the word of God, the word of Lord, came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. God took Abraham outside of his tent, and he said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. After that, we saw that God asked Abraham to bring animals and cut them in half and give a sacrifice. And one side was half animal, the other side half animals. But Abraham was sleeping when everything happened. And last week I jumped from verse 12 to verse 18 for time's sake, but today we need to read these verses. Because this verse is very important to make the connection, what you need to see today. So in verse 12, you can please jump for verse 12. They said, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace, and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoke fiery pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the wild of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. I told you last week that the tradition at the time means that if I have a deal, a contract, some business with Dave, we put these animals, half animals for one side and other side, and both of us need to walk through. And when you finish that, that means that we have a deal, we have a contract. And I thought last week that Abraham was sleeping. He didn't do anything. God did everything. And God was shown to Abraham that he was in charge. It's not Abraham, but God was in charge to fulfill his mission. But look to the verse 13 to 16. God is showing to Abraham what will happen with the Israel people. And the Israel people really didn't yet exist. Abraham was the first one. He became the first Hebrew, if you can say that. But his son, really son, was born only 25 years after that. So nothing was there. But God was so interested to show Abraham, Abraham, I'm in charge. I promise you that everything will happen as I said. So imagine that more than 200 years before everything this happened, God told everything to Abraham. Everything to Abraham. God created Israel to be a nation with a mission. God had expectations for human beings when he created Adam and Eve. Remember, we talk about when he said Adam and Eve should go and get the blessing of the garden everywhere, the relationship, the presence of God everywhere. So this was the expectation. But the man and the Adam and Eve, they fell and they lost the way. Okay? So because God is in control, God chose Abraham and said, okay, from you, I will make a nation from you. This will be my nation. And this nation, God had expectation to. Okay? And today we'll take a look for God's expectation to Israel. And what's happened on the history. God created Israel to be a nation with a mission, to be a blessing to all the families on the earth. 215 years after the covenant between God and Abraham, and 190 years after Isaac was born, God spoke with Abraham's grandchild, Jacob. Let's see Genesis chapter 46. I don't know what you feel, but I cannot remember things that happened last week. But here we talk about 215 years. It's a lot. But God's time is different than our time. And sometimes you think, okay, what's happened? Maybe he forgot. God never. Everything in his plan. And 215 years before, he told Abraham, Abraham, your descendant, they will be slaves. They will suffer. They will pass for a very difficult time. But I will bring them. I will bring them to here again. You will die in a good age. But your descendant, I promise you, they will come back. And then you come with a possession, many possessions. And this is exactly what's happening in Exodus. We know the history. So, 215 years after the promise, God showed up to Jacob. So, verse 2. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. If it was better, the voice, the Jacob would be stronger. But now, they go, Jacob, Jacob. Oh. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you. You see how great this? Jacob, you will not be alone. The promise I did to your fathers, I will be in Egypt with you. And I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. All those who went to Egypt with Jacob, those who were his direct descendants, not count his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons, with the two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt. The members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. But there is a gap of about 300 years between the end of the book of Genesis and Exodus chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. So verse 6 says, "Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in number, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to the power in Egypt." So, from death of Joseph to Moses, we have about 279 years. God fulfilled his promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. In 400 after the birth of Isaac, Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt. 400 years, exactly. If you try to study more, we see but some place say 430, some is 400, but depends where we start to count, okay? But this is another story. But the question here, and I try to think about, it's what were God's expectations to the nation of Israel? What was? The first one was God expected Israel to be kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Verse 1 to verse 6 in Exodus chapter 19. On the first day of the third month after Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Refidim, this is my pronunciation in Portuguese, so it will be Refidim, they entered the desert of... almost I said desert or desert? Sometimes they desert. No, it's not desert. Desert of Sinai, okay? This is very... It's a trap word here for me. And Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasure possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." God gave the law to Israel, and he explained for them everything they should do. A kingdom of priests. This was God's plan. God shows Israel, he made Israel, he created the nation of Israel to be a connection between all the nations and him. What the priest, the idea of kingdom of priests bring, is that every person, the nation of Israel, will be a connection between the man and God. This was God's dream for the nation of Israel. So all the nations around Israel, when see a person, an Israelite, can say, "Wow, how can I have the same relationship you have with God? And he will teach me." This was God's dream from the beginning. Remember Adam and Eve? Go and share the blessing of the garden. How is the relationship? But because the free will, the whole thing, the Adam and Eve, they fail. And for Israel, God has the same dream. You have to continue. This is my dream. You will be a holy nation, separate. And the nation around them, when you see them, you see, these are different. They are different. So God expected the people of Israel be this kingdom of priests, a connection, so the nations around the world can understand how is a relationship with the true God. The second expectation is God expects Israel to repudiate all practices and beliefs that was contrary to God's truth. So the Israel people at the time said, you need to make a stand. I don't agree with this. This is not how God wants us to do and keep stand. So Exodus 23, 24, 25 says straight like that. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stone to peace. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. So God expecting that Israel to be repudiate all this sinful practices around them. The third expectation here is God expects Israel to be a model nation to other nations, and that through them all the families of the earth would be blessed. This is the expectation. You can see this in this prophecy in Isaiah 49. This prophecy is about Jesus, we know. But include the Israel as a nation side. When say he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. You see again, through Israel, my salvation will reach the end of the earth. This was the God's plan for the beginning, for Genesis. He wants to be glorified for all the nations from the beginning. But Adam and Eve, they fail. Israel fail. Israel should reflect to the history, her history, institution, and lifestyle, the reality that God intended for at creation for all mankind. So around the nation of Israel, the nation should see, oh, this is how I need behave. Israel should live in such a way in the presence of God that they would serve as an attractive to other nations, lead them to one true God. This is the point. When nation the nations around Israel see them, they said, I need be like them. I need know the true God. This is the point. But why they fail? And how they fail? Came 2 points for me. First of all, Israel fail when they decide to follow the custom of other nations. Israel fail when they decide to follow the customs of other nations. Instead, be a model. They try, they look like what the other nation did. They said, oh, I think this is good. Why you not make the same for us? This was exactly what God said, no. Just one example. 1 Samuel, verse 8, 4 to 8. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are old, and your son do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the older nations have. Can you see? They try to follow the custom of the other nations. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It's not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other God, so they are doing to you. Can you see what's happening here? God expects to be the king of Israel. God expects to be the Israel nation will be a theocratic nation. In other words, who is the lead of the nation Israel? It's not the king, it's God. This was in God's heart. And when the nations looked for Israel, they said, wow, you don't have a king. Your king is your God. This is different. We need to follow this because we see God is blessing you. But instead, they said, oh, do you know, these people, they have kings. Make us a king too. It's fashion. And God said, what God said for Samuel was very, very sad. He said, you know, it's not you they are forsaking. They're against me. They don't want me. And they, it's not only for that time. They said, from the day I brought them from Egypt, they are disappointed me. They don't want really a relationship with me from the beginning. Even though everything I did for them, the whole miracles, they don't want me as their king. Second thing, Israel failed when they became exclusivist. I don't know if it's... Yeah, I'll explain the word for you. Losing their main function that was to be salt and light to our nation. What I want to say is Israel failed when they looked for themselves. They thought, we are the good one. We are special. We are proud because we are the nation of Israel. When they look not for God, not for God's mission, not for God's plan, and said, no, we are good because we are good. This was, for me, the biggest fail of the Israel nation. Because they are not special just because they are Israel. They are special because the calling of God, the original idea why they were created. God created them to bring light for all the nations. God chose them from nothing, to be the nation of God. But they make something. Look here, Psalm 67. I love this psalm. They say, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the people praise you, God. May all the people praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, bless us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. When I look at this psalm here, it seems that the psalmist turned into prayer the concept that was brought by the covenant between Abraham and God put together, and the prophecy that we read already in Isaiah, that the Israel will be the light for the Gentiles. This is the idea. They put together, and the psalmist make a prayer. This is a prayer, a song, a prayer. And but what I love here, there is a connection here. And the idea between or behind the psalm is that there is a relationship between the mercy of God, between the blessing of God and the power of God with our involvement in his mission. Remember what the text say here. It's God, be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth. Can you see the connection here? Said, okay, God, have mercy on me. This was a prayer. Have mercy on me. Bless me. Make your face shine on me. This is power. This is God's presence. Remember Moses, when it came from the God's presence, his face was shine. It's all about mercy, relationship, power, material, blessing. It's all. It's a prayer. But this has a goal. And the goal was that all the nations, again, all the nations will bless him. Will know that God is God of the old earth. They want to know God because this kind of relationship. But Israel just lost the way. God led the course of human history so that at the right time, and according to the divine prophecy, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Just remember, it's so amazing. Oh, Genesis chapter 1, God creates everything. And God later, God created man and woman and say, go and share the blessing of the garden everywhere. It's there. In chapter 3, they fail. And in chapter 3, God said, from the woman, in chapter 3, he said, after the disobedience of Adam and Eve, God announced that the coming of the Savior as a seed of the woman. In chapter 3. And after that, God raised Abraham. And God raised many people during the story, the whole Old Testament. It's God showed his footprints on the history that you are not alone. I'm on business. I'm work on that. I'm work. And through the prophet Isaiah, God announced that the vision, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Isaiah 7:14. Then after the apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 4:4-5 said, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that you might receive adoption to sonship. We can talk about this for 5 years if you start in Genesis. But this is the history of God trying to connect with man. In all books of the Bible, God is doing. God is in control of the history. And all the prophecies about Jesus was fulfilled. And God is still in control of history. And Israel failure to be salted and light to the nation made what God intervene again. And he create a new, not now, but long time ago, a new instrument, a new community to participate in God's mission. In this community called church, us. In my question, and we will, what you talk the next week, the last final, before Phil come back, is, what is the expectation God has for us as a church? Maybe you need to see that in some way we are make some mistakes too. You need to hold firm in our faith, in our walk with God, to His glory and His honor. But remember, that God's mission is His name to be glorified among all people is on all the earth. And the church's mission is to be part of this calling. So next week we continue on that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything you have learned so far, and help us to not make the same mistakes. The church is not special itself. What is special is Jesus Christ. What's special is our calling. When Jesus called us to represent Him on this earth. And we pray that He help us to do not make the same mistakes. And help us to be faithful until the day. But thank you, Lord, because you are on your business. You know what you are doing. And you will not depend on us. And on the exact day, you always intervene. And we trust in you that your mission will be complete. Not because of us, but because you are the God of the universe. The sovereign God. Thank you, Lord. Because everything was about the blood of Jesus that purified us. And now we are God's family. In Jesus' name, amen.